WSHU, the station you know, trust, and count on, is more relevant than ever. I'm WSHU News Director Terry Sheridan. Your support has enabled us to deliver what you need at a moment's notice, wherever you happen to be. We can tell stories that really matter, connecting facts and revealing the truths you need. Thank you for listening and supporting WSHU Public Radio. We're expanding our world together.
You're listening to WSHU's After All Things with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. As federal support faces uncertainty, Connecticut turns to rainy day resources. On Long Island, good intentions for the environment are running up against old lawn habits. Our region reacts to the mass shooting at a Hanukkah celebration in Australia. Plus, survivors of domestic abuse are calling on Albany to act. Those stories and more are ahead. I'm Sabrina Garone. Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont plans to spend about $168 million from the state's recently created $500 million contingency fund to backstop federal cuts to safety net programs. WSHU's Ebong Udama has the details.
The plan submitted to the bipartisan leadership of the State General Assembly says the money would be used to reduce the cost of health insurance for about 150,000 state residents who are losing federal Affordable Care Act subsidies. Some of the money would also go to provide food assistance for about 35,000 people affected by federal cuts to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP. And some would be used to keep 3,500 people affected by cuts to a federal homelessness program in their homes. Speaker Matt Ritter says state legislative leaders agree with the plan.
This is exactly what the fund was created to do, to undo some of the havoc that is being sowed upon states by Washington, D.C., and the cruel cuts that they made.
Ritter says they anticipate Lamont would probably submit a plan to spend more from the remaining $332 million in the contingency fund early next year, if there's another federal government shutdown. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
Long Islanders are aware that fertilizing their lawns can hurt the environment, but haven't changed their lawn care habits. That's according to a report from the Siena Research Institute. WSHU's Desiree Diorio reports.
Almost 9 in 10 Long Island residents say it's important to keep their lawns looking attractive. And more than 3 in 4 say they're concerned about the environmental impact of using fertilizer to do it. But that high level of concern for the environment isn't translating into proactive measures to protect it. The researchers say that gap is an opportunity for education about how fertilizer contributes to fish kills and harmful algal blooms by introducing nitrogen into surface waters. Some ways to cut down on over-fertilization include switching to hardier, lower-maintenance plants, using fertilizers that contain less nitrogen, and testing your soil to see if it even needs fertilizer. Desiree Diorio, WSHU News.
Connecticut's former top energy regulator has been ordered to pay $2,500 over mishandling a public records request. WSHU's Davis Donovan has more.
Eversource accused former PURA head Melissa Gillette of stonewalling their requests. PURA rejected the company's attempts at a rate hike. Eversource and UI pressed aggressively for Gillette's ouster until she stepped down earlier this year. The state's Freedom of Information Commission sided with Eversource. They faulted Gillette for not giving the company emails about PURA's operating procedures. Eversource and UI have still been feuding with PURA since Gillette left office. Davis Donovan, WSHU News.
Pressure is mounting on Governor Hochul to sign a bill that could change the lives of domestic abuse survivors. That story is coming up. Hochul support for After All Things comes from Hartford Healthcare. For the second time, all hospitals received A ratings from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent hospital monitor. This means that patients have access to the safest level of care, no matter which hospital they choose.
We have a special lineup of programs for you this holiday season, with songs, carols, and stories for Christmas, including the annual favorite, A Festival of Nine Lessons and Carols. We also have music and stories for Hanukkah and Kwanzaa, and music that welcomes the winter season. There's something for everyone. You can find the full schedule at WSHU.org.
A Farmington, Connecticut man got more than 2 years in prison for threatening to kill two members of the U.S. Congress. Police say the man also threatened to kill police if they tried to stop him. A judge also sentenced him to 3 years of supervised release and mental health treatment. Suffolk County approved a police contract that gives leadership a nearly 20% raise through 2029. Executive Ed Romaine says the contract was negotiated in good faith. The county is still negotiating with other police unions. Former U.S. Representative Anthony D'Esposito of Long Island has been approved as the new Inspector General for the Department of Labor. He's one of dozens of Trump appointees just confirmed by Congress. D'Esposito lost his seat to Democrat Laura Gillen last year. He hasn't said if he'll run again to regain that seat. The recent mass shooting at a Hanukkah celebration in Australia has sent shockwaves throughout the global Jewish community. And as the New England News Collaborative's Michaela Savitt reports, the tragedy is still reverberating in Connecticut as the holiday continues this week.
Joseph Eisenbach, the rabbi at Chabad Lubavitch, Northwest Connecticut, recalls what he told an area resident who came to him early Sunday morning after hearing about 15 people killed at a menorah lighting on Bondi Beach.
And I said, this is who we are. We're all one people.
Eisenbach says many have sought counsel since then. He says part of the response to the tragedy is embracing the miracle of Hanukkah with the community.
We are here to move forward, to continue spreading light, and realize that sadly this is the cycle of life, but empty drums make a lot of noise.
Menorah lightings are being held through Sunday in Litchfield County. Learn more at lightupnw.org. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Michaela Savitt.
Advocates and lawmakers are urging Governor Hochul to sign a bill making it easier for victims of domestic abuse to no longer be held liable for coerced debt. The New York Public News Network's Sajina Shrestha has details on why people are pushing for the bill to be signed by today's deadline.
When Nicole Campbell, a single mother of three, escaped her abuser in April, she thought she was finally safe. But when Campbell went through a financial program at a shelter in New York City, where she was staying, she learned that there were more hurdles in her way. After a credit check, she discovered that her abuser had tried taking out a loan in her name, impacting her credit score.
And it's really tough and hard because it's like you leave them and you're trying to get your life together, but then again, they're messing you up financially in the same aspect. And it does become like a financial burden.
Campbell says she was able to flag the loan and has been fixing her credit for the last 8 months. Lawyers and advocates who work with domestic violence survivors say that cases like Campbell's are very common, with abusers going even as far as getting the loan in the survivor's name. Oftentimes, the survivors still face economic abuse in the form of credit cards, personal loans, and cars being taken out in their name. Naomi Young is a senior staff attorney at Campbell Legal Services, an organization that works closely with domestic abuse victims. She says survivors oftentimes do not get to leave their abusive relationship with a clean slate.
We were, as divorce attorneys, seeing that even if we won somebody a favorable determination in a divorce, that they were still walking away from the situation economically vulnerable because of the debts that they were carrying, so often the result of economic abuse in the relationship.
When survivors do try to dispute the debt, Young said they have to litigate with the creditors, which ends up costing the survivor more time and money. She says this is why her organization and other advocates pushed for a bill in the New York State Legislature that would shield survivors from liability for coerced debt. The bill, which passed both the New York Senate and Assembly in June, would make it easier for domestic survivors to dispute the debt. If passed into law, survivors would no longer be on the hook for the debt if they can provide proof of the coerced debt to a qualified third party. New York State Representative Linda Rosenthal, a strong supporter of the bill, says this legislation will help creditors go after the right person.
And that's what this bill is about, providing a mechanism for the survivor to say, these were not my debts, they were someone else's debts, and then they can move forward and the creditor can go after the perpetrator, not the victim.
Rosenthal also addressed the concerns of creditors, saying the fine print of the bill makes it harder for people to lie about having coerced debt, a main concern of opponents of the bill.
To me, the last thing that a survivor who's trying to rebuild their lives and get away from a life of violence is going to think of doing is lying about debt. And there are mechanisms within the bill that assure that under penalty of perjury, the survivor saying the debts are not mine has to attest that these were not their debts.
In Campbell's eyes, a bill like this is crucial in helping survivors like her start fresh and thrive after escaping abuse.
Us survivors, I think that we deserve freedom across the board because a lot has been taken from us while we're in with these abusers. And, you know, we come out, we go in isolation, we feel lost. And I just want to feel like we deserve freedom across the board. And I know it's going to get way better. If I waited 8 months to get myself together, I believe that it will get better for a lot of other people.
The bill now awaits Governor Hochul's signature ahead of the December 19th deadline. For New York Public News Network, I'm Sajina Shrestha.
For the latest news from around Long Island Sound, listen to us on the radio, online at WSHU.org, or download our free WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford HealthCare. And as the year comes to a close, we're asking you for help to keep WSHU strong in 2026. With the loss of federal funding, your year-end gift will ensure we can continue to bring you the trusted journalism you count on every day. Visit WSHU.org, and thank you so much for your support. Join me tomorrow on 91.1 WSHU for the weekly roundup of this program. That's at 6 p.m. after All Things Considered. I'll talk to you then. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great weekend. We'll be right back.